The door opened and Mother stood before me. I expected her to shout or maybe strike me, but she simply stepped to the side and waited for me to enter the chambers. The floor was bare. No shards of mirror, no broken furniture, no unconscious stranger. The lack of evidence the attack had ever happened made me more nervous than if the man had been sitting there waiting for me. I entered the room just enough that Mother could close the door, and then waited. She said nothing. The silence was no longer a comforting friend. It was a cruel torture that crept around me, waiting to slip into the ether as noise took its place. I wanted Mother to berate me, to hit me until I bled. I needed her to care enough to punish me, to prove Violet was mistaken. Les Morts Vivants by Stephen Chapman, Part 2. I assume you took the usual precautions to remain unseen? Her voice was void of passion, the words spoken as if she were memorizing lines for a play.
Yes, Mother.
She nodded slowly.
And if I were to ask you what happened here, you would tell me the truth?
I so desperately wanted her to pull me close and stroke my hair, to tell me that all would be well. The lies didn't matter. She was my mother. But she wouldn't even look at me. She tapped a fingernail at the buckle of the belt that cinched her dress together, and I recoiled. There was no way of telling if she would use it on me, but I could tell that she wanted to.
There was a man,
I blurted.
The man from the other night. I'm sorry, Mother. I didn't mean to listen, but it was him. He tried to take me, so I fought back. I hurt him, and he wouldn't move. And I didn't want to cause any more trouble.
Tears rolled down my cheeks, but I didn't dare wipe them away, lest Mother see the tattered flesh on my hands and realize I had taken her mirror. She looked at me, and I stared into her shining eyes. The anger and malice were gone. She looked afraid. What did you hear?
I wept harder, and my breathing became ragged. Through blurred eyes I saw Mother approach, and I turned my head to the side, waiting for the blow to land.
But her hands slipped around my shoulders, and she pulled me into her soft embrace. This man, this Daroga, he is a bad man, do you hear me?
I sniffed and nodded, my face wrinkling the soft material of her dress.
He's trying to take you away. He knows what you are. Knows you have the flesh of a monster. Oh, I know I can't keep you from leaving this room. Heaven knows I've tried. But if you ever see him again, you must not listen to his words. You must run. Run, and don't look back.
I nodded again, but I wasn't really listening. The gentle beating of her heart filled my ears, and I heard the faint whisper of her hands running through my hair. Mother rarely held me, but whenever she did, I would forget the world for a moment. She pulled away, and I was left breathless, but calm. The rest of the evening was a blur. Mother never brought up the broken mirror or her ruined nightstand. I floated ghost-like to my bed, and although the turmoil of the day rendered me exhausted, I could not sleep. I inhaled gently and could still smell Mother's perfume on my clothes. It was intoxicating. It smelt of happiness and comfort. In the dark, it was everything, lifting my heart and quieting my mind. The room brightened slightly, and I assumed Mother had risen to use the bathroom and lit a candle to guide her way. But then I heard hushed whispers, and my mind raced. Could it be the man who tried to take me away, this Daroga? Had he come back to finish what he had started? Mother would know what to do. She would protect me. I could hear them speaking, but quieter than last time. This was no argument. He wouldn't expect me to be awake, so I had to act fast. I crept from under the covers, searching for a weapon, but finding nothing. Mother moaned, and my heart exploded. He was hurting her. I pushed my door open slightly. Mother had her back against the front door. The stranger was leaning against her, one hand on her neck, the other tucked behind her head. He was going to strangle her. I pushed open the door and stepped into the room. Mother's eyes opened and glowed in the candlelight. She locked eyes with me and raised a hand behind the man's back, a solitary finger warning me to stop. Mother had a plan. The man stepped backwards, and his hands lowered until they reached the hem of her nightgown. He lifted the material in one motion and pulled the gown over her head. Then he pushed her back against the door and ran his hands down Mother's neck and onto her breasts. With frantic gasps and gulps, the man lowered his face to Mother's chest and licked and mouthed at her. I didn't know what was happening. Why was he touching her like this? Why was she letting him? Mother raised her hand again and made a shooing motion. The man turned his slobbering head and rubbed his cheek against Mother's stomach. I recognised him at once. Not Daroga. It was the old man Violet had been holding hands with. Philippe. He massaged the area between the top of Mother's legs. She moaned, louder this time, and shooed me away once more, but there was less effort in the gesture. I didn't want to see any more. I shuffled back to my room. My stomach felt as if it were turning over and over in a dizzying motion that made me want to scream into the night. I clamped my hands over my ears to muffle the groans coming from the living room. I darted a hand under the bed to retrieve my mask. My fingers brushed against the ragged edge of my broken disguise, but it taunted me, sliding further under the bed. I had to remove my other hand from my ear and drop to the floor to find it. I crept under the bed, seeking solace, returning my fingers to my ears once I was under the protection of the mask. Eventually, the slumber I had evaded for so long caught me and dragged me into the sweet oblivion of silence. I awoke to an unfamiliar view and recalled the events of the previous evening. I slithered out from the gap under the bed and wrapped a blanket around my trembling body. Stumbling to the door, I took a deep breath before opening it. Philippe was still there. The side of his head was caved in and resting in a dark crimson pool. His right eye stared directly at me as I stood in the doorway. Where is she? My gaze was torn from Philippe's corpse to Mother, sitting in her chair in front of the space where her makeup table once stood.
What happened?
I gasped. Where is she?
Who?
You know who. His little tart, the one you've been canoodling with in your grimy passageways. That filthy Daroga questioned Philippe in your floozy trying to find you, and I'm not there to protect you. He questioned everyone, it seems. The whole theatre knows of your existence now. And that little bitch told him you were friends. Told him exactly where it is you slither off to during the day so he can take you away from me.
I don't understand.
Oh, you're pathetic. That's all there is to understand. I look after you all these years. Keep you hidden, safe from people who would think nothing of burning a monster like you alive. And you would repay me by running off with that harlot.
No, Mother. I wasn't going anywhere. I promise you.
Each lie I told Mother was easier than the last. Don't offer me false promises. You sound just like him, you disgusting cretin. It's all lies and ungratefulness. Men! You'd say anything to get what you want. To get a taste of this.
Mother grabbed at her crotch, her face contorted with rage.
You're a hideous monster. I should have drowned you at birth. But I didn't. I kept you safe. Bore the burden of your miserable excuse for a life.
She stood from her chair, and I noticed a limp as she crossed the room toward me. Her foot scuffed Philippe's chest as she stepped over the body, and he tipped onto his back. Bloodshot eyes bulged in their sockets, a single trickle of blood splitting his pale face in two.
I did this for you. All of this is for you. It's all I've ever done. And you're still not grateful.
She spat at my feet and I flinched, waiting for the scolding hand to strike.
I'm going to ask you again. One more time. Where is she?
I thought about the girl. The kiss. I couldn't tell Mother, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. The first strike knocked me to the floor, my teeth clacking together as my rump thumped back onto stone. There was no chance to offer an answer before the second blow. Mother's cold, bony hand struck me a third time and a fourth. She would not stop until I told her what she wanted to hear. There was no fanfare to announce my betrayal. No ominous violin being plucked to signal the beginning of my end. Just a simple word uttered through blood-stained teeth.
Cave!
Violet's melodies floated down the tunnels, and with each treacherous step, her words grew clearer. It was an angel's voice, ignorant of the demons approaching. Mother seemed eerily at home in the tunnels, and once she heard the lullabies of her prey, she stopped relying upon me for directions. I took silent solace in the fact that she was taking the long route to her destination. Bitterly, I prayed for Mother to ask me how I got there, so I could show her my watery route. I imagined rats crawling through her hair and defecating on her pretty dress. How she would scream and howl and weep. But my friends were nowhere to be seen. Perhaps they sensed Mother would harm rather than welcome their appearance. This way, she said, and increased her pace. The torch Mother held illuminated the perch I had used to hide from Violet. We were close.
Mother, please, don't hurt her.
We rounded the corner, and I saw Violet twirling her hands and feet about, singing and dancing to a tune only she could hear.
Oh, I'm not going to hurt her. You are.
I stopped and began to turn, but Mother grabbed my neck and spun me back towards the room. She pushed me forward with enough force to send me tumbling to the ground. I hit it with a hard thump.
Oh, hello,
Violet said, her infectious grin lighting up her face. I pushed myself to my knees and, in spite of the sorrow in my heart, I found myself returning her smile. She skipped towards us, dipped an unlit torch into a container of oil
and lit it on another flame. Violet turned to face Mother, and her smile grew impossibly large.
You brought a guest. How wonderful. Well, this must be the hag that locks you up like an animal.
The choking squeak Mother made sounded like a rat being wrung out. She turned and fixed me with a stare that curdled my blood.
Is there another exit from this chamber?
I shook my head.
Do what must be done to protect this family, and do it quickly, or I will. And it will not be a quick death if you make me do it. You are right. She is a queer beast. Does she often prattle on in such a ludicrous fashion?
Violet walked to me. Small, simple steps that brought her close enough to touch. No dancing or parading. She offered her hand and helped me to my feet.
I must say, I don't care for your mask. Why don't you show your handsome face?
A small tremble lingered in her words. She was losing the edge of her confidence.
Philippe did not return last night. I assume I have your mother to thank for that.
Her voice lowered to that just above a whisper.
We could still leave, me and you. We could travel the world, dance and sing. We could be free.
She pointed her head ever so slightly to the left and behind where she faced. I knew she was suggesting we flee to the flooded entrance I had discovered. A small part of me longed to run, to escape and be a part of the world, with Violet as my companion. But I didn't deserve it. Mother was right. I was a monster. But I would be a monster in my own right.
Run!
I whispered the word. But in the silence of the cave, it seemed to echo as if I had screamed it. Violet shook her head.
No, not alone. I won't be alone. If I'm to run, then you are running with me.
Her head darted upwards as she looked over my shoulder. I had not heard Mother approach, but suddenly she pushed me out of the way and grabbed Violet by the loose material of her flowery dress.
You should have run while you had the...
A trickle of air leaked from her mouth, turning into a gurgle as she slumped to one knee. Blood dripped onto the sandy floor, and I saw a shard of mirror protruding from Mother's stomach.
You little bitch!
Mother gasped the words as she reached down and pulled the weapon from her abdomen. The sucking, wet sound of flesh turned my stomach. I fought the urge to vomit. As soon as the glass was removed, Mother grabbed for Violet's hair. She twisted her hand into those delicate locks and yanked hard, pulling the girl down to her knees. With a violent twist, she wrenched the head back and exposed Violet's throat. There was no time to scream out a warning as the shard sliced through her flawless pale skin. A cut so deep that glass crunched as it met the resistance of muscle and bone. Violet fell forwards, hitting the floor with barely a sound. I watched in horror as the blood pooled around her head and soaked into her hair. Her eyes flickered as she watched me, and her lips trembled into the curve of a smile as she left me behind forever. I will never forget that smile. Mother winced and dropped the mirror. With one hand still clutching at her stomach, she began to crawl towards me.
This is the price I pay for having a monster for a son,
she spoke as if she were possessed. Ragged breaths and sharp words.
Your price has not yet been paid.
A voice spoke from the shadows. A figure emerged from the passageway that led to my watery entrance. The man Mother had warned me about. Daroga. Numbness spread through my body as I tried to understand what was happening.
You!
Mother spat.
It's over. The boy comes with me. You can either pay for your crimes, or you can die down here alone.
Daroga's voice echoed in the chamber.
He's mine! Mine!
Mother shrieked.
You let her die.
I stared into Daroga's eyes.
You could have saved her. You could have stopped all this.
Your mother will pay for what she did. I promise you that.
Daroga stepped forward.
But you did this. You let it happen.
Calm down, my boy.
I'm not your boy. I'm no one's.
My hands began to shake.
Nobody wants me. But she wanted me. Violet wanted me. And now...
Mother continued to inch her way across the floor, each manoeuvre causing her to grimace in agony. I stared at this woman who had claimed to have looked after me all those years. She wasn't a mother. She had never been my mother. I hadn't seen it until now. Her eyes were wide and unblinking. She almost growled as she gasped for breath. She was a monster. They both were.
Come. Help me to my feet.
No.
My reply staggered even myself for a moment.
You will do as I say.
Mother snarled.
No.
My voice grew clearer and louder.
I will not.
There was no anger anymore. I felt sorry for her, living all those years in fear, ashamed of her actions, but unable to cope with the ramifications they entailed.
You bastard! You did this!
I didn't care if she was talking to me or to Daroga. It didn't matter anymore.
What is it to be? Do you want to die alone, or shall I bring you some help? Don't worry about our son. I shall make sure that he's looked after, that he has a proper family.
Mother's taut face relaxed at this, and she seemed the beautiful woman others saw when they looked at her. All of the anger, the hate and the fury, it was gone. Devoid of all emotion, she picked up the torch and stared at me.
The time has come to make things right.
With a swing of her arm, she threw a vase of oil at me. The liquid splashed across my face. My vision blurred, but the world grew brighter. And I felt the heat on my face as she lit my flesh on fire. Pain cleansed me of all thoughts as I writhed on the floor, listening to my flesh sizzle and pop. The fire consumed me with the desperation of a starving animal, and I slapped at myself in an attempt to dislodge the beast. I screamed, and the fire slid down my throat and into my lungs, stealing my voice away. The world
shifted, and I felt myself moving. A rippling of flame as air rushed past my face and the blaze licked at my hair. And all at once I was underwater, plunged into an inky darkness that enveloped me and pulled me down. The water was a salve for a moment, before its icy touch began to burn me more intensely than the flame. I felt myself sinking down, deeper and deeper. And I allowed the water to claim me. Better to die now than live in a world so cruel. I drifted into the depths and the darkness. To die slowly, not all at once. That was the way.
And I did die. The boy no longer remained, certainly. For the longest time, there was nothing. No flesh, no dreams, no sleep. Then, all at once, pain. 1,000 daggers slicing into the sinews of my face, twisting the skin tighter, pulling at delicate nerve endings. I opened my eyes to find myself in a bed, a roaring fire lit by my side. I flinched at the sight of the flames and pushed myself up into a sitting position. My body screamed an impossible scream, and I looked down to see the hellish flesh of a monster. My arm and all other flesh on the right-hand side of my body was red and black and melted. There was a solidity to it as I tried to flex my muscles.
Try not to move. You'll break the skin that still has a chance of healing.
Daroga stood in the doorway. He wore a pristine uniform which lent him an air of authority.
Mother?
Daroga looked at the floor as he mumbled his words.
She did not survive.
I thought about that for a moment.
Good.
There's water on the table.
He indicated a wooden cabinet which held a jug of water, a glass, and my mask.
It protected some of your face, but not... Well, there's too much damage. I'm sorry.
You haven't looked at me. Why won't you look at me?
Daroga remained silent.
Look at me. Please. Am I the monster my mother described? Please. Look at me.
Still, he would not.
Yes, I'm sorry. It were never meant to happen like this. So much has gone wrong. But it is over. This is done now. Once you're recovered, you'll be able to start a new life.
You said you were going to take me away. Where are we going?
That cannot happen now.
Now I look like this, you mean? You said you were my father.
I tried to shout, but stretching my mouth too wide sent searing pain through my muscles.
There's nothing I can do. You are my son, yes, but your mother never allowed me to be your father. She was ashamed of what she'd done. Ashamed of being with me. It's not for me to look after you. I meant to take you away from her, that's all. You were to be given to a couple that couldn't have children. People who could care for you. Who could love you.
But now?
Your face. You are
unlovable, my boy. I'm sorry. It is not a face that anyone would wish to look upon.
I want to see it. Bring me a mirror. Now!
My tone sounded as if I were channeling Mother from the grave. Taroga hesitated for the longest time, but still wouldn't meet my gaze. He left the room, but returned shortly, carrying a large mirror. He placed it on the bed facing upwards, and returned to the doorway, never once looking directly at me. With a determined breath, I grasped the mirror in both hands and tilted it towards me. A thing grinned back at me, lips torn and burnt to reveal jagged teeth trapped in an eternal snarl. The skin on my forehead was tight and tough, pulled back to reveal bulging eyes, just like Philippe with his caved-in skull. And my nose, once large and proud, had melted away to reveal gaping nostrils, flaring to a ragged point. My hair looked as if it had been ripped from the side of my head. Ragged tufts stuck between layers of exposed, melted flesh. My appearance finally matched the abhorrent soul that dwelled within. When you're well, I will help you however I can. But you cannot stay here. If any of what happened comes out, I will lose my career. A policeman concealing murders with an illegitimate son? No. No. This is too much burden to bear.
That word again. The mirror exploded as it hit the ground, and I leapt from the bed. I ignored every screaming muscle in my body and I ran for the door, shoving Daroga out of the way. I flung it open with enough ferocity for it to bounce off the wall and slam shut behind me. I ran through doorways and corridors, down grand staircases into the confines of the theatre itself. I fled past marble columns and lavish curtains soaring up to hang from magnificently painted ceilings. And finally, a door that led to the cool air of the Parisian streets. The world I had been hidden from all my life awaited me. And in spite of everything that had happened, I felt something like hope filling my heart. There had to be something worth living for out there. Someone worth living for. And I swore this. Before I leave this mortal coil, I will know what it feels to be seen through the eyes of a loved one, to be touched by one who desires every fibre of my being, to love and be loved. I will be loved.
Les Morts Vivants was written by Stephen Chapman and performed by Dion Winton Pollock. You can find this story in Primogen, Origin of Monsters, from Stitched Smile Publications, copyright 2017. Links to the author, the publisher, and the book can be found in the show notes, along with attributions for the music and sound effects that I've used. Les Morts Vivants was a Fine-Toothed Comb production.